Missing a deal on Amazon.com could be scarier than having James popping out of your closet at a moment's notice. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob as a podcast whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robiswebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, robiswebsite.com/AmazonCA. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisternino here with your Friday Big Brother 17 update, and we are got a lot to talk about because we have the questions that we sent to Becky that we got back from CBS. She'll be one of four people competing to get back into the Big Brother house this Thursday night. Plus, we're going to talk about the new HOH, plus everything that's going on with the nominees for this week. And joining me to talk about it all is one of our intrepid live feed correspondents. Please welcome in Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
Doing pretty good, Rob. Talking to you for the third day in a row now. It's quite the Big Brother bromance we've got going.
Yes, here. It certainly is. We're a real Steve and Johnny Mac right now.
Yeah. Which one are you, Rob?
I'd have to say I'll be Johnny Mac.
Yeah, I think that's probably about right.
Yeah, there you go. Because much like Johnny Mac, I'm pretty much doing nothing most of the day.
Yeah, and much like Steve, I'm wandering about talking to myself most of the day.
Sounds good. Match made in heaven. All right, so Alex and I, we talked on Thursday night after the eviction. Of course, that's up on robiswebsite.com. And then this Sunday night, I'll be live again after the episode to talk about it all, coming up with Taryn Armstrong. Of course, big show coming up on Wednesday, where Jason from BB17, Jason Roy, is going to be joining us to talk about it all this upcoming Wednesday night. And so before we jump into this also, I'm very excited today, Alex, because our Evolution of Strategy Chapter 25, all about Survivor Philippines, has dropped. And I think it's a good one. I'm excited for you guys to hear that.
Yeah, I've just, God knows how, because I'm not, between Big Brother and everything else, I'm certainly not getting tons of sleep over here, but I've started that a little bit, and very funny chapter. I'm really enjoying it so far.
Over 12 hours on Survivor Philippines available at evolutionofstrategy.com. It's part of Volume 3 of the Evolution of Strategy, which you could hear, evolutionofstrategy.com. All right, let's talk about this, and I've got the questions back that we sent to Becky. Are you ready to hear Becky's answers?
I am, yeah. You know, we had to pull kind of a fast one last night and change about half our questions because, you know, out of nowhere, Julie Chen just pulled this Edward R. Murrow and just asked these very, very pointed, kind of good questions that I didn't really expect to come from her during the exit interview. So.
Yeah, good job by Julie. Good, making us work harder. We don't mind. So we have the questions from Becky. These are going to be spoiler free, and then we'll play the spoiler song. I'm talking about what's going on the live feeds. Question number one that we had for Becky was, what are your expectations going into the game as someone who wasn't as familiar with it as the other players? How much has your perception of the game changed during your time in the house? She said, actually, I think I had a pretty good perception of the game. I had studied it and watched 6 seasons of the game before entering. Some people had watched the game for years on end, but hadn't watched an episode in a while, so would often forget the specifics. Look at Becky talking about how she was better than some of the other people in the house.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. You know, people talked about, you know, a lot of people were irritated by the idea that Clay could call himself a super fan if he just started watching this year. But I think there is something to the idea of binging right before you go in because it is so fresh and you really are focused on applying it because you know you're about to go on. So I certainly, you know, I've seen the past seasons, but I would definitely be rewatching like crazy if I was preparing, and good on her.
Does it surprise you to have Becky say that she's had a really good perception of the game?
A little bit, but I guess I didn't necessarily realize she had seen 6 seasons either. I thought maybe she had watched just the kind of the 1 or 2. So, that gives me a little more insight than I had, I guess. Yeah, I'm a little surprised to know that she thinks she had a good beat on it, given the way it played out, maybe. But no, I mean, that's an interesting answer.
Of course, these questions are compiled all week long by our live feed correspondents, Alex and Taryn and Brent. The second question you guys sent to her was, we saw you get a surprise nomination the very first week, which forced you to fight for your life early on. Did this affect your strategy much? And if so, how? She said, yes, this hurt my game early on because I did really perform well in the Battle of the Block competition. So people knew I was a strong physical competitor. Was this a factor for people, really, Alex?
You know, I don't know how much of a factor it was for others in week one, but I definitely wanted to ask the question because I remember her feeling like she was safe that first week when Jason and James were up there. And then when she got nominated, there was that whole, you know, situation where she just went to the bathroom and cried because she felt so surprised by it. And so I really did feel like that moment kind of was the first time she got totally thrown for a loop in this game. So I do feel like, if nothing else, maybe that was her perception that, you know, I need to win. And then once she had won, that like, wow, I guess I need to keep winning because I've already kind of stood out here.
If you get a chance to return, Becky, who will you be looking to align yourself with and why? She says, Johnny Mack, for sure. Potentially Steve or the Megan James duo, depending on the game. So against the Aust twins, basically.
Vanessa. Well, then that's, you know, I'm not surprised. And yeah, that speaks to, yeah, maybe that's someone that could come in and really kind of tip the scales the other way here.
So we asked her, if you do go back in, who will you be targeting first and why? She said, I'm caught between two places. I'd like to put up Liz and Austin side by side. They haven't had to play the game up until late, and they put me up when I kept them safe. On the other hand, I know the toughest people for me to beat in the finals would be Steve and Vanessa. It would all depend on where the game is upon re-entering. Boy, does that shock you that she says the toughest people to beat in the finals are Steve and Vanessa?
It doesn't shock me. Steve seems to be the only person in there who thinks Steve doesn't have a chance at winning votes at the end. I think it's very interesting that Becky is aware that Steve is has really done a pretty good job at this point of endearing himself to the jury members.
So who has it more right, Steve or everybody else?
About how Steve is behaving?
About how Steve is perceived in the house.
Perceived in the house. Steve was right for the first half. And I think Steve really just lately has come on with his social game a bit. And we'll talk about that more when we get into last night.
Okay. How surprised were you, Becky, that James, Jackie, and Meg decided to vote out Shelly over Vanessa? What went through your head the moment you found out they were flipping it? She says, I was surprised because they had vocalized wanting Vanessa out over Shelly even before I won HOH. However, I was more upset at myself on how I approached the situation with Vanessa, because I should have been more prepared for her to remain in the house than I was. All right, so eating some humble pie.
Yeah, that's the best answer I think she could have possibly given. That's the kind of answer that shows understanding of what happened and like contrition and like the desire to kind of go back and play it a little differently. So it's good to see that she's not one of these people that are just like, no, no matter what, no regrets, that she's actually thinking about what could I have done differently. And if I get a chance again, what will I do differently?
That's so she's great. Ready to go back in, you think?
Yeah, good to see. And yeah, again, this is another person in the jury house that I feel like could actually come back and really, really try and wouldn't just, you know, go right back out the very same week.
We asked Becky, do you feel like there's anything more you could have done to help yourself stay in the house this week? What would it be and why? She says, Liz told me I was a pawn and I actually believed it. It was only 24 hours before that I really got scared that I wasn't. The pain in my foot was bad enough that any form of campaigning became very difficult since the recovery time was unknown.
Yeah. I did feel like the foot really did hamper her ability to kind of move around the house and do any of the things she wanted to do. But yeah, it's unfortunate.
It was the agony of defeat this week. Poor Becky.
Poor Becky.
We also asked her, who do you think is playing the best and worst game right now? Why? She said, three people who have the best shot at winning right now because they're playing without having to run HOH. Who are they? Who are the three people Becky thinks are playing the best?
I'm going to say Vanessa.
Okay, who else?
I'm going to say, I think maybe Austin.
Okay. She says, I think Austin, Steve, and John have the best shot at winning.
Steve and John, okay.
Because they don't have to run HOH. The person with the who she thinks is doing the worst is who?
Well, I guess in that sense, maybe it's Vanessa.
No, she's
or Liz.
Julia doesn't talk game, nor does she win competitions. I don't think she'll be winning the game.
Yeah, no, and that's, you know, a point I made this week, actually, that I think Julie has maybe the best shot of anyone left to make the final two. And just I can't see her beating anyone. All her eggs are in the Liz Austin basket. She really doesn't seem too eager to try to even stray a little bit.
And finally, we asked Becky, how's your toe feeling? How much did the injury hinder your ability to campaign? She says, it was horrific. Absolutely horrific. I stopped being able to sleep and my toe almost doubled in size. Campaigning became very difficult.
Yeah, it's such a shame. It really was unfortunate to see. You know, like, you don't want to see anyone taken out on any terms other than their own. Like, you want to think that when people walk out the door that they got the opportunity to do everything they possibly could to save themselves. So yeah. It's a shame to feel like maybe Becky left a little bit on the playing field in that sense.
Yes, too bad it couldn't have been a veto. Stop, yeah. Stop. Don't even laugh at that. Don't even laugh at that.
Totev?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So that's going to do it for our interview with Becky. We'll see if she gets back into the house this Thursday night. Are you ready to talk about what is going on the Big Brother live feeds?
I'm so ready, Rob. Okay.
Of course, this is everything that's going to be from Thursday night. We're going to talk about the HOH and who the nominees are. So if you don't want to hear this sort of thing, we are going to be going into the spoiler mode. Are you ready?
Spoiler-tastic.
Spoil away. Here we go.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
All right, we're talking spoilers from the Big Brother live feeds overnight. We have a new HOH, which we've actually talked about on the podcast on Thursday night, but just reset. Who is our new HOH, Alex?
Yeah, it was nice of them to finish the competition like right as we were winding down the spoiler section of our show.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, we totally appreciate that. It is Austin, Rob.
Okay, Austin is your HOH. Who has Austin decided to put up after a busy night for Austin?
Yes.
Yeah, so, take us through the night and then let us know where you
ended
up.
I think that's the way to do this, Rob. Yeah, this was like a great, you know, one night kind of a story almost. Like a, you know, it was very, very entertaining the way it unfolded. Last night, Austin gets, you know, his a big bottle of red wine in his HOH basket. And, you know, he was actually, you know, another interesting thing is like his Judas secret finally came out to the last couple of people who hadn't heard it last night, which was Steve and Johnny Mac were the last horses to cross the finish line on that, the alter ego secret. And they basically, you know, they agreed that like it doesn't matter. Like, who cares what your name is? But it's funny that it's been a thing. So, you know, yeah, he was saying, you know, my wrestling name on the independent circuit, that was, you know, Austin Draven, but yeah, in WWE, I'm Judas Devlin. And to be honest, Rob, I felt like he was more like Carl Draven last night because he was shirtless. He was pounding the bottle of red wine from the bottle and he had his Khaleesi on his arm, never leaving his side. It was very entertaining. He was walking around. I mean, it's very HOH itis-y, you know, just, you know, pacing in the room without a shirt, pounding a bottle of wine and, you know, just talking much more aggressively than we're used to see him talking. So that was fun.
Okay. So it's going to his head.
Yes. Yes. I would say so.
Good. We like this. We
love this.
The pride cometh before the fall in the Big Brother house.
Traditionally, that is a thing.
Yes. We love it. Okay. So in the partying and the drinking and the festivities and the all sorts of stuff going on with Liz, God knows what, where does Austin end up landing with these nominations?
So in the midst of all that, he's still talking tons of game. And his initial thought is he's definitely wanting to put Johnny Mac up as a pawn slash backup target. And then he wants to put up a member of his alliance as a pawn, with, you know, the idea that they can backdoor James if something goes crazy. The problem becomes when he gets the entire scamper squad upstairs and Steve is adamant he will not be a pawn, and so is Vanessa. Although Vanessa says, I will be a pawn, but then when Steve kind of tries to put it on her, she quickly backs off of that. Last night, we saw a side of Steve that I don't believe we've seen all season. I mean, he really, you know, we've been talking about people flipping a switch in this game. And to be honest, like, people have said, you know, Jackie, Becky doing it, Johnny Mac doing it. Nobody's really talked about Steve as someone that is just really, really playing a role. But I'll tell you, Rob, if you watch
a roll
this kid-
like what you put butter on, butter.
Oh man,
Steve.
That's not dying anytime soon, is it?
Let's hope it does.
Yes, but no, it was really interesting. You know, if you watch this kid on the feeds last night, you would maybe think this is someone different entirely because I mean, he is clear. He is, you know, driven in what he has to say. And there were moments when he's throwing Vanessa under the bus and really endearing himself to Austin in a way that made me really think that he was going to pull this off, that Vanessa was going up. So that looked really good. Unfortunately, then Austin, who had finished his bottle of wine, went to bed and was kissing with Liz and woke up, you know, feeling a little differently. Vanessa got in his ear. Steve and Johnny Mac are on the block.
Okay. So when you said that Steve seemed like a different guy, who was he talking to that you felt like it was very impressive?
So when they were up there, the five, the Scamper Squad, the two twins, Austin, Steve, and Vanessa, not only in that moment was Steve like doing a great, more than anyone else has done in terms of pushback with Vanessa, I think, where he really was, you know, laying out reasons like on her level as to why she's the pawn and not him. And when she would leave the room, he did a great job of burying her in the same way that she would bury him, about talking about all the lies she's made, about all this, you know, the time that she was going to backdoor Austin. And Austin is still bothered by that. And not only that, but he, you know, he went downstairs after kind of this back and forth, and he offered Vanessa a hug, and Vanessa was upset with the situation, didn't want to hug him. And he went back upstairs, was like, Vanessa won't even hug me. Like, played Vanessa's game, used her emotional reaction to throw her under the bus. And I love to see that. And I think a lot of people will love to see that. I'm sure we'll see it on Sunday. It's great to see somebody else like playing Vanessa's game at her level, really trying to, you know, to stoop to that point to, you know, expose her. And that's what they need to do.
All right. So Steve and Johnny Mac are on the block, but who's the target for Austin this week?
Oh man. So that's the thing. It's like, you know, the nominees, he decided, I mean, feeds were going down and he's like, I need Liz to talk to Steve because I want Liz to convince Steve to be my pawn. But he's still very unsure about who the target's ultimately going to be. The three people in danger this week, we know for a fact, in some order, are Johnny Mac, James, and Vanessa. He's going to either, he's leaving James and Vanessa open as like probable targets. I think he seems leaning towards wanting to backdoor Vanessa. But, you know, he seemed like he was leaning towards wanting to nominate her today. He said he was going to put on his little top hat and go all Judas on her and throw her on the block. And, you know, I think that was wine Austin. I think wine Austin is Judas.
Got it.
And then sober Austin is Austin. I think we've learned that over last night.
So why is Johnny Mac being considered for a target? I thought that Johnny Mac was in with the Aust twins after this week.
Yeah, you would think so, Rob, especially because Steve did a great job last night. You know, Vanessa, this was crazy to see because this is usually Vanessa's game, like I said. Vanessa's laying in bed thinking. And in this moment, Steve is throwing her under the bus. Then Steve runs downstairs, brings Johnny Mac up and tries to solidify a five, like really kind of broker the deal. That's what he needs to be doing. Because, yeah, Steve's game does kind of hinge on him being able to bring Johnny Mac in and push Vanessa out, I think. That's good for him.
Now, we know that the veto is going to be the Zingbot this week. Is there anything that we could take away from the types of veto we typically see with the Zingbot and who we think might be able to perform well in that sort of competition?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, from the past, I think I remember, you know, there being...
putting together a robot.
They were making baby Zingbot. They were like putting together tubes and puzzles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think that kind of analytical thing definitely benefits Vanessa, Steve, Johnny Mac in some order.
There's some sort of physical component though, too, I feel like. Of like it's like running around and then also putting something together.
Yeah.
I think there's something to that. So we'll see.
Yeah, I would say one of those three in that context probably has the best shot.
Say Johnny Mac wins the veto. That's been his competition all season long, winning these vetoes. If Johnny Mac wins the veto, what will happen?
I think, you know, that, you know, the biggest thing right now is that Austin and the twins didn't want to. There was apparently a deal made right before the end of the HOH where the last two running in that sprint competition were James and Austin. And James looks over to Austin and says, no nominations for no nominations. Like, no James and Meg from you, no Austins from me. And Austin says, sure. And so because Austin wins, he doesn't want to go right back on that. Even though James did that with Clay and Shelley, he feels like that's going to bite James. And he doesn't want to have that on his resume, that immediate turning on a deal. So he doesn't want to use Meg as a pawn, even though it seems like it makes perfect sense. But the danger is, right, like if Johnny Mac saves himself, then he's made Steve and Johnny Mac think that they're more loyal to their deal with James and Meg, which they actually told them about, that they had deals on both sides. So yeah, if Johnny Mac wins, Austin is really looking at, does he want to turn on this deal he made with James, or is he ready to pull the trigger on Vanessa?
Worst case scenario for Austin is to send James out this week and then have zombie James return back into the house with a vendetta.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's a pretty bad scenario. I think there are other scenarios that could be bad for him that he doesn't necessarily see right now.
Yeah.
But I think they're still really just under the assumption that if they get rid of Johnny Mac, Steve has nowhere to go. And I think Steve is going to be smart enough to play the numbers from here on out, regardless of who they are.
Well,
who does
Steve have?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He, you know, from last night, it really seems like Austin wants to work with Steve after Vanessa's gone. Like, they would rather Steve be there for with Austin and the twins. And I mean, it really seems that they feel that way, but that's not a great look for Steve. Steve needs to get, you know, to six or whatever with people he can maybe use to turn on them with. So it's going to be tough to see down the stretch, because in conversation, their goals are aligned, but in reality, they can't get there with the same people.
And how connected is Steve with the other side of the house?
Not very. And that's the thing.
Hold on, though. We saw the whole thing about how James and Steve are BFF, and Julia said, aren't you guys bays now?
We did, but the problem with that was all non-game stuff, and then this brass tacks thing was formed, Rob, where, yeah, and Austin, and you know, Austin's even told Steve and Johnny Mac about brass tacks, which if I'm them, I would go to James and Meg and say, they just outed the alliance they made with you guys, like, why can't we put together something now? But that hasn't happened yet. So until Steve and James come together strategically and compare notes, Austin's are kind of double dipping right now, and they're getting away with it.
Call it right now. Who's going home on Thursday?
Oh, man. It's
or at
so
least
up
who's
in
going
air.
Into the jury house for at least 10 minutes.
Right. I'll say just based on the way Austin's talking about being scared to, you know, outright nominate either Vanessa or James, I'll say that if push comes to shove and he's not forced to make a move, that he would evict Johnny Mac and play it safe.
No!
I know. It's a shame. He really needs this veto. And to be honest, I thought he was going to win the HOH. You know, he was talking about, this was my comp. You know, I'm a good runner. A lot of people he thought were throwing it to me, and so did everyone else. But yeah, like Austin got down to it and he looked at Liz and he felt like he had the win. And Liz really wanted him to win. But now, like, even Liz is calling him an idiot for winning, because they feel like there's no
good
way out of this week.
What an idiot.
Why did he win? Oh, my God. I know. Ooh. I told you to, but...
Oh. All right, so we'll see what happens. Should be an exciting veto on Saturday. Of course, we'll talk about it all Sunday night with Taryn on the live show on Sunday night, 9:15 p.m. Eastern. All right, great job, Alex, as per usual. Good stuff following these feeds. I know it's a busy 24 hours for you as well.
Yeah, it's been wild, but it's so much fun, Rob. I really enjoy this. You know, you get just these moments where you're sitting around and late at night, and Steve is hearing about the Judas thing for the first time, and he's like, that's nothing to do with you. You're sending someone to a beach house. Judas killed a guy. Like, yeah, he did kill a guy, Steve. Like, what was that guy's name again?
Wow.
Yeah, some guy.
Yeah, tough stuff. Yeah. I think happiness in Big Brother is not knowing what's coming next. And I think that was such frustration last season of around every corner. We sort of knew every step of the way what exactly was going to happen this season. And say what you want, it hasn't been predictable.
Completely unpredictable. And right, like, you know, Eric Stein talked about this. They may not be playing the way you want them to play, but everyone in this game is playing. And I love that. I love it.
Yeah. And I like somebody's coming back on Thursday. I think that makes it exciting, too.
Yeah, because you know what? Are they going to win the game? Almost certainly not. But do they add a variable that can now be used to kind of shift what's been set in stone at this point? Yes. And that's what makes it really interesting.
Turn it up on its head. Why not?
Yeah.
All right. Great job, Alex. Follow Alex on Twitter. He's at Alex Kidwell. We'll be back again Sunday night. Looking forward to seeing your comments on robhasawebsite.com. And if you ran out of podcasts, well, one, I can't believe that. How is that even possible? We made so many podcasts this week, including our Last Comic Standing semifinals recap, which is up on robhasawebsite.com. Also, check out evolutionofstrategy.com to hear our 12-hour Survivor Philippines retrospective, which is a lot of fun. All right, everybody, have a good weekend. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care.